Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back here into WCCO. Matthew Collar in for Henry Lake tonight. And joining me on the show from the Pioneer Press, covers the Gophers, Andy Greeter. What is going on, Andy? How are you?
I'm good, Collar. How are you?
Oh, well, I was doing better until I heard it was going to go down below zero. That made me maybe displeased. Maybe I will have to make plans to travel to the Duke's Mayo Bowl to warm up. Where is the Duke's Mayo Bowl, by the way?
It's in Charlotte. Not exactly tropical. When I talked with their executive director earlier this week, and he was rubbing it in that it's 60 degrees there.
Okay. Well, this certainly is better than what we've got going for ourselves. You know what? I think, Andy, as the Gophers are going to play in the Duke's Mayo Bowl, and I am envisioning PJ Fleck being covered with mayo, thinking, yeah, this makes sense, actually. He's a coach that works for. That overall, now that it's over, and there were some bumps along the way and some disappointments along the way, this was a really important season for PJ Fleck. And I think at the end of the day, a very good season for confidence in PJ Fleck going forward. Would you agree with that?
I would. He's never had two straight losing seasons, and he was in danger of doing that going into this year, given their 5-7 regular season a year ago. The broader perspective is, you know, Vegas had him at five and a half wins going into the year. So for them to be able to get to seven and win a rivalry game against the Badgers and, you know, have something in their trophy case, because they were in danger of not having any of their, you know, four rivalry trophies, two in particular being the Floyd Rosedale and the Paul Bunyan Zacks. I think it's important to be able to get to seven. You know, I think if they were 6-6 and they lost the Axe game, I think you'd be looking at maybe some more disgruntled fans. But anytime you're able to get at least one of the rivalries, I think it's encouraging. Now, I think you can also look at it and say, you know, they had four one-score losses, and if a couple of those go their way, you know, then they're maybe looking at a Florida Bowl. So there were all other opportunities that they left kind of on the table that made you thinking, especially after they took care of Wisconsin in the way that they did, that there should have been even more wins on the table for them.
Yeah, and the point about how they lost those games is important, because certainly you could blame PJ for maybe trying to throw a pass to the tackle, which did Kevin O'Connell and PJ get together and design their horrible trick plays maybe over dinner or something? But you lose to Michigan, and maybe you kind of get screwed there by the refs. You barely lose to Penn State, who we know is a great team and lived in the top 10 pretty much all season long. That matters, too, because going into this season, I didn't really know what to expect, Andy. I thought with the Big Ten having so many changes, the Gophers might just be left behind. But this year, they were playing with anybody that came out.
For sure. I think you look at that Michigan game and seeing the fact that they got called for offside and the onside kick, and then the Big Ten comes back and changes the referee mechanics based on that call. Mm-hmm. Your head of officials say that it was too close to call. It was a bitter pill with that one, but at the same time, they still needed to drive down on a Michigan defense that's loaded with future NFL players. So that one was a little bit, you know, more iffy for me. The Rutgers game obviously stands out with you when you're fumbling within the shadow of your own goalposts late in that game. That was a very winnable game. And then obviously way back in August, against a mediocre North Carolina team that, you know, fired Mack Brown and I think went 6-6. He had a shot to win that with a field goal at the end. So there were those four games, like we talked about, that were right there for the Gophers, that could have taken, like I said, a good season, a successful season, and made it even better.
No, you're right. Even if they win two of those, then we're right. even having a different conversation. But you could still walk away and say they were either winning or just barely finding a way to lose games, which yeah. is a lot better than having a miserable, terrible season where they're getting blown out or struggling. In a world where everybody is paying their football players $1 million to come to their universities, like where do the Gophers exist in that universe now? Because things have changed for PJ Fleck so much in such a short period of time.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's really refreshing!
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you know, I was on, you know, these airwaves 2 weeks ago with Dave Schwartz and Paul Najarian, and they were asking me about, you know, some of the likely suspects of are they going to enter the transfer portal, and Coy Parrish, who was a All Big Ten safety, and Darius Taylor, who's a very dynamic running back. Pete, especially as an alum, was nervous about those guys potentially hitting the transfer portal, and I told them to not really worry about that because they've turned down previous NIL offers over years to come to Minnesota or to stay in Minnesota. And they showed late last week that, you know, in back-to-back tweets that they were, quote, not going anywhere. And they were plugging a NIL app based out of Minnesota here to kind of continually support the program. They had great success a year ago in retaining pretty much all of their starters outside of Ethan Calliope-Manis, who they, you know, said that they were going to bring in a QB1 for him to compete with, and he said, no, thanks, I'll go be QB1 at Rutgers. And they retained, I think, 15 out of 16 outside of Ethan. And this year they haven't had any defections as of right now. And that's the key players. Obviously there are smaller role players that have left and might be going to lower-level schools or looking for an opportunity at the same level. But no key contributors yet. And PJ told me 2 weeks ago that he felt really good about how they were going to be able to retain players. Now, obviously, this is a perpetual thing, right? The transfer window is open for a couple more weeks here. There's talk of there's not maybe as many people in the portal right now because the second NIL payment for the month is yet to cash at their current school. So they're going to wait till they can make that cash that check before they enter the portal. And now, oh, by the way, there's another transfer portal in April. So it's just a perpetual cycle here that they're always going to have to be, you know, recruiting, re-recruiting their own guys, and that's just kind of the nature of college football these days.
If I never heard the word portal ever again, I'm sure for you it's the same way. Just like, are we covering sports or portal? Why do you think that Fleck has been good at keeping his players?
I think because their NIL is something that is tangible. They're not going to be one of the best teams in the country when it comes to it. But I think when you go from a school that had very little to no NIL money 2 or 3 years ago to have substantial money to say to guys, hey, we'll pay you, let's say, $300,000 to stay in Minnesota, that's real money, right? Mm-hmm. And I also think that the way PJ does his program is he always talks about it as, quote, a life program, not just a football program, that it's about more than just football here. It's about relationships and social life and those different things. So I think if you come to this school in Minnesota for those other reasons, you're more likely to stay because those reasons are part of the kind of calculus and why you came here in the first place.
Andy Greeter joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline here on WCCO. Matthew Collar in for Henry Lake. I'm just curious about your perspective covering this up close about the whole landscape of college football and where all of this, like what the impacts have been, because what I initially thought was, oh, great, this means that Bama is never going to lose a game ever again. They're just going to pay everybody, and their boosters are going to pay everybody, and then they're just, you know. That has not been the case. In fact, it feels like there's more parity in college football. We're going into this 12-team playoff. I don't know if you think you know who win. I don't know who's going to win, right? I mean, Oregon earlier this year almost lost to Boise State. I feel like anybody could win now. And the fact that it didn't crush the Gophers, I almost wonder if it's helping spread out some of the talent, because kids aren't just trying to go to the best program and live there for 5 years and develop over a couple of years. They're trying to find places where they can play and build out their own local legacies with that team there. And it's created a little more parity?
Yeah, I think there's been kind of a climbing of the ladder as well, right? Obviously, the Gophers were scared of Ariate Ursary, their left tackle, who was all Big Ten offensive lineman of the year this year, looking at some of the paydays he could get elsewhere and jumping ship to one of the, you know, helmet schools. Mm-hmm. Now, that was the Gophers' concern. The concern for FCS schools is all our best players are trying to climb up to the Power 5, Power 4. And that's where I think the Gophers have won at times, right? You look at Max Brosmer, FCS guy. You look at Ethan Robinson, who was a very good cornerback for them here this year. You look at Jack Henderson, another nickelback of theirs. All three of those guys are FCS-level players who are coming to the Big Ten and have no resources, you know, no training table, no opportunity to get a meal, much less an NIL payday. So you're getting a kind of a funneling up, a climbing of the ladder of talented players that are looking at the transfer portal and saying, hey, I did really well at the FCS level. Maybe I can make it to the Big Ten. And that's where the Gophers have found success to be able to hang with, you know, the Penn States of the world.
Yeah, I mean, I think that PJ, we didn't know how he was going to kind of navigate this, because nobody knew how any coach was going to navigate this, has done a pretty remarkable job with it and set them up to continue to be competitive if they can, of course, find their next quarterback. Do you want to talk about Gopher basketball? Should we just end it? Should we just say, like, hey, great catching up, bro. Hope you have a good holiday, and we'll catch you later. We could do, like, an on-air dap and just move on. Or do you want – what do you want to say? It's just not
let's,
great.
Let's poke the scab. How do you want to go? How do you want to do this?
Okay, so how do they not be this way?
Yeah.
Some path? I mean, it just seems like they're stuck in neutral here.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about how the Gopher football team has been able to benefit from the transfer portal. The Gopher basketball team has been, you know, almost eviscerated by the transfer portal, right? Obviously, they kept Dawson Garcia, who, you know, I think got around $600,000 to stay in Minnesota, was turning down $1 million from other programs. And other players on that team last year, Pharrell Payne, Elijah Hawkins, were getting either equal money to Dawson Garcia or more from Texas Tech and Texas A&M. And the Gophers were like, well, we can't afford that. We're paying our best player that much. So if you can get more than that from elsewhere, well, then there's nothing we can do about it. Now, those are two very talented players who were part of a team that, you know, almost made the NCAA tournament, made a little bit of a run in the NIT, who Tom Izzo said if they all come back with Cam Christie, who went to the NBA, they could have a team that could contend for the Big Ten championship. Now, Cam goes to the NBA. Those two other guys go to Texas schools. And it's looking a lot different because of the guys that they brought in have not been able to live up to the same level. And I think what the most alarming thing is not just not being able to hit on players, but in the last two games against Michigan State and Indiana last night, is there's just a lack of execution. Mm-hmm. There's a lack of hustle. There's a lack of commitment. And I think you saw it in Michigan State, and Ben addressed it after that, and then to see it duplicate again last night, I think that's why you saw, you know, Ben reportedly staying in the locker room for 40 minutes after the game and really challenging his guys, because there's a standard of how you should do it, even if you're not physically able to do it. And that's where I think the biggest problem is with them right now.
Well, and if they don't get it turned in any sort of direction, because right now it's just sinking, but then, you know, you're talking about going back to Patino and they move on from him and then bringing another coach, and that doesn't work. Yeah. And then it starts to feel hopeless. And we're in a great state for basketball, and it just feels wrong that this program cannot get anything going. But I will say, though, You crush it on Twitter when you cover these games. You are a very, very detailed and entertaining follow on Twitter. At Andy Greeter on Twitter, covering all the Gophers, football, basketball. And maybe you'll get to have some good mayo when you go down to cover that game, the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Andy, I appreciate your time, man. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It was great to connect with you again, and happy holidays.
Yep, happy holidays to you. Andy Greeter. Oops, I turned myself off there. I went into producer mode as if I needed to drop the call, but that's Chris Tubbs' job, not mine. So I just turned my own mic off. Anyway, Andy, no, I mean it. Andy is a really good follow.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.